Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very good welcome, belated welcome to you from Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning, this 11th day of November 2005. Glad you've joined us. Sorry we're a little bit behind schedule today for various reasons, but yes, indeed, we are here live Friday morning, the 11th day of November 2005. Before we go any further, let's check out the weather.
Right now in Greenville-Spartanburg, it's 38 degrees, downtown 40 degrees, Anderson 36, Clemson 40. Today is going to be sunny and highs in the mid-60s. And there's a frost advisory in effect from midnight tonight to 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And Dr. Coben has been writing a new book. It's called The Christian Theology of Public Policy, Highlighting the American Experience. And under each chapter, he puts down a few quotes there from famous, you know, from famous quotes. And under chapter 4, which is the divine ordination of state criminals and legalized crime, he has a quote from Mark Twain. It says, "No man's life, liberty, or property is safe while the legislature is in session."
Indeed, indeed, so it will be, and so it is. And so it has always been the case whenever you're dealing with the state. You know, the state is such a tough topic for people to get their hands around or their thoughts around. It's it's a topic that is not thought about very much in general. And it's the naivety of Americans, and especially American evangelicals with respect to the state, is actually quite appalling. My wife and I were talking about some of the themes that are put in my new book, especially with putting flags into the sanctuary. You know, why in the world would we ever have a government flag or a state flag in the sanctuary? The state has nothing to do, or should have nothing to do with the church. It's not something to be worshipped or counted on or depended on. We are not to be nationalists in the sense of, as you know, statecraft and loving and adoring the state. And so why in the world do we even confuse people by putting those flags in the sanctuary? There's an interesting phenomenon. If you travel around the world as much as I do, and I've been in, 35 different countries, and I've been in churches in many of those, at least a dozen of those, I cannot recall another country I've been in where they're in church where they put their state flag in the sanctuary. It may be an American phenomenon. I don't know for sure. But at any rate, so it is. And we suffer under that, repercussions of having state flags and statism and nationalism infiltrating the American Christian mind. Well, the Christian worldview ought to be something that's different. Unfortunately, there was a Christian worldview conference recently up at North Greenville College. It's on the front of the Times Examiner today. And since it was run by Dr. Richard Land as well as Tony Beam, my guess is it was really another festival of ignorance. Probably had nothing to do with the Christian worldview. Although wasn't there, and I shouldn't really pass judgment on something if not being there, and I haven't even read through the articles to find out if there are any foibles there. But just knowing what I know of these men and listening to Mr. Land Dr. Land on the air as well as Tony Beam, I know that they really don't necessarily grasp the understanding of the Christian worldview in this respect, in terms of public policy and in terms of economics, as they should. They have a good Christian grasp of things like abortion policy and certainly the gospel. They're Christian men. This isn't a harsh criticism of them as far as being Christians or their character. But their views have been rather naive in the past when it comes down to the theology of public policy and the Christian's role in engaging his culture. So at any rate, that went on recently, and unfortunately that's typical, it's not even typical of the American Christian, which doesn't even think as deeply as those two folks do about these issues. And so we're gonna try to help do that on this show and other shows and continue to bring forward some keynote thoughts about the Christian worldview, about things that can be pointed out from various articles that we read every day on the show, or biblical texts and issues. Here's an article that was sent in this morning from Oliver North, and the Tyranny Response Network research staff thought this would be an interesting thing to engender comment. Oliver North, of course, not necessarily a constitutionalist or a pro-life libertarian by any stretch of the imagination, yet he's got some interesting comments here, they thought. This is called Senate Shame. Washington, D.C. Without warning last Tuesday, Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid, Democrat from Nevada, invoked a little-used provision in Article 1, Section 5 of our Constitution to force the world's great deliberative body into an unusual closed session. For a moment, I thought he was going to do a commercial for my new best-selling novel, The Assassins, which has a similar scene in Chapter 5. It turns out this cynical maneuver was far more crass than a mere commercial endorsement. Though Mr. Reid and his colleagues say their goal is to force disclosure on the misinformation and disinformation presented by President Bush and his administration during the lead-up to war in Iraq, the real motive seems to be nothing less than bringing down the commander-in-chief in the midst of a war. And unfortunately, the Republican leadership, caught flat-footed like deer in your headlights, failed to do their duty. Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Pat Roberts, a Republican from Kansas, called the maneuver a political stunt, and then went on to agree that the six-senator partisan task force will report by November 14th on progress reviewing pre-war intelligence. In other words, now that the president's polls are down and we have more than 2,000 dead, let's explore once again if we engaged in a war we didn't have to fight. For the Iraqi people who had just affirmed their own constitution and who are about to go to the polls to select the first freely elected legislature in the Islamic world, this is at best disheartening. For the jihadists intent on driving all Western influence out of Islamic lands, it is propaganda windfall for recruiting more suicide terrorist martyrs. Worse yet, for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, guardsmen, and marines serving on the front lines in the war on terror and their families here at home, it was a painful and pitiful performance all around. The staged closed session came just 4 days after Vice President Dick Cheney's former Chief of Staff, Lewis Scooter Libby, was indicted for perjury, obstruction of justice, and making false statements in the investigation into the leak of CIA employee Valerie Plame Wilson's identity. Speaking on the floor of the Senate, Mr. Reid tried to make a connection between the Plame Wilson leak and ongoing war to liberate Iraq. The Libby indictment provides a window into what this is really all about, how the administration manufactured and manipulated intelligence in order to sell the war in Iraq and attempted to destroy those who dared to challenge its actions. On cue, Senate Minority Whip Richard Dick Durbin, a Democrat from Illinois who once likened American servicemen to those who served Adolf Hitler, Joe Stalin, and Cambodia's Pol Pot, added, "We lost over 2,000 of our best and bravest, over 15,000 have been seriously wounded. We are sending more than $6 billion a month with no end in sight. And this Republican-led Senate Intelligence Committee refuses to even ask the hard questions about the misinformation and disinformation given to the American people and the efforts made by the members of this administration to cover it up." Senator Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia, the ranking Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, fired his own shot, also accusing the White House of manipulating the committee's GOP leadership into steering away from the subject of pre-Iraq war intelligence. Anytime the Intelligence Committee pursued a line of inquiry that brought us close to the role of the White House in all this, in the use of intelligence prior to the war, our efforts have been thwarted time and time again, he said. The closed session was hardly over before Senator John, reporting for duty, Kerry, was out to his dozens of supporters on his website, alleging the dozens of his supporters, the country was misled into this war by president and administration who appear to have put politics and narrow ideology ahead of this honest national security policy. With weekly polls showing precipitous drop in public support for the war, all this rhetoric was red meat for the far-left leadership of the Democratic Party. George Soros, Howard Dean, and Michael Moore have to be euphoric. They have the hated George Bush on the ropes and hope to score a knockout. They will, of course, have the help of the mainstream media, who are unlikely to remind the American people that this is all being carried out in the U.S. Senate that had access to the same ambiguous intelligence that was used by the White House before hostilities began on March 19, 2003. Nor is it probable that Mr. Reid, Rockefeller, Kerry, etc., will want to be reminded that they, along with the other 26 Democrats, all voted for the October 11, 2002 resolution committing U.S. troops to a war they now clearly do not want us to win. What the Democrat leadership is asking for is an instant replay of all that was discussed and debated before the hostilities commenced. But this isn't the NFL, it's war. Unfortunately, the Republican leadership in the Senate doesn't seem to know it either. It is that as this circus in the Senate was unfolding, the best a befuddled Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist could imagine was a weak restatement of the obvious. The Senate has been hijacked by the Democratic leadership. What he should have done was introduced a privileged motion of his own, demanding an immediate vote on who wants to stop the war right now. But then he would have taken real leadership. So Oliver North is